Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Question for you, is your dad's razor older than you? Get him something new for Father's Day, a DSC, that's Dollar Shave Club, 6-blade razors, perfect for those extra close, precise shaves. Get one now at a store near you as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. James Harden worked his hamstring through shoot-around without an issue. He'll do the same on court tonight prior to tip versus Milwaukee with hopes of playing in Game 5 tonight. The problem with Harden, as he's been determined to be cleared to play, he's moved one step closer to joining Kevin Durant tonight, 2-2 between the Bucks and the Nets, is hamstrings will feel fine, and then all of a sudden you try to explode or push off and you feel it tweak again, right? That's the issue with it. But there's lots of people go like, well, listen, LeBron did this for years. He just carried the team. Why can't we expect Kevin Durant to do the same? Why can't Kevin Durant carry a team? I'm sure you've heard that before, right? If LeBron can do it, why can't Kevin Durant? Don't give me this Kevin Durant is older sort of thing. That's a bunch of nonsense. Don't give me this. Don't give me that. It's all a bunch of nonsense. Kevin Durant is so good, he can carry a team. You know, look, I'm not going to lie to you. There's a certain amount of carrying a basketball team that he was having to do. And even Steve Nash said, we were trying to do a little bit too much. But I don't actually think that's really what's at play here. Okay, so here's what you have to understand about teams and styles. LeBron James, and this has been said and maybe not explained time and again on TV, is they'll say, well, LeBron James is the system. And there's, you got to play LeBron's way. Okay, so when LeBron plays, he dominates the basketball. It's one of the things that I think Luka Doncic is going to have to go through, which is, it's really hard to get a well-rounded team if you play where you give the ball to one guy and he so thoroughly and completely dominates the basketball, right? But you can play that way and you can be successful, but you have to, one, get used to playing that way, and two, you have to build the roster around that sort of guy. If you look at this, Kevin Durant this year only played in 35 games. 35. Okay? He only played in 35 games. So part of it is they haven't played with him a ton. Part of it is the team is not built to play. This team is constructed where you have three guys that average like 35 minutes and they take, 50 of the shots and you play off of them. Now you have one guy, but the team is not constructed where to fill in for that guy. Do we understand? Right? Like, if you throw in Landry Shamet with two other elite scorers, Landry Shamet's an outstanding shooter. He spaces the floor. But you throw him out there without two of their guys, and now he's forced to do much more. It's one of the reasons that in the past, when LeBron was on a team and it was built around him and he'd come off the floor, you go like, well, they're way worse for them. Yeah, because the team is completely built around playing one way. And then when he comes out, you got to play a different way. That's almost impossible, which is the opposite of what's going to happen or have to happen tonight if James Harden doesn't play. They were built to play one way and now they're going to have to play another. So what all does that mean? It's interesting. Does that mean Kevin Durant can't do it? No, he can do it. But the likelihood of immediate or sustained success is not great. It's just not. It's not great because the team is not built that way. And even if they can kind of reconfigure themselves, it's hard to learn to do that on the fly. It's hard to learn to do that without trial and error, without, you know, the type of things that we talked about adversity. You know, you haven't had great games. You haven't had bad games. You haven't tried different looks and different, and to do that in the playoffs against a really good team, against a team that has Giannis. Well, look, this is no different than, well, Giannis can do it by himself. Yeah, the team is constructed around Giannis. How can we find ways in which we can play through his strengths and with his weaknesses and still succeed? Hope I'm making sense. I feel like I'm making sense. Byer, am I making sense in my argument? Kind of a nonsensical argument, but I thought it made sense. I was like commending myself, and then I was like, eh, maybe a little bit too early on that one. What about you, Gab? Do you get it, or do you have a retort?
Yeah, no, I do wonder how it affects the other side. Like, how do you think the Bucks are approaching this now that, you know, there's only Kevin Durant left and a little Joe Harris?
Well, obviously, you got to kind of load up on him, but, you know, if you put the right people around him, you know, that's one of the reasons Joe Harris is able to be successful, because you can hide what he doesn't do well off the dribble.
But I would think they could clog the lane now because there's not as many, you know, people to worry about on the outside. And
but is that actually true? That's therein lies the question. You know, can you actually clog the lane? Like, all right, well, if Bruce Brown's going to go and try and take over a game, the answer is yeah. Yeah. But otherwise, the answer is no. Right. And this is where you start to get into that. Okay, how much do we use Blake Griffin now? How much do we use? You can't put DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin out on the floor at the same time, because then the lane gets clogged and Kevin Durant has visions of what it was like to play in Oklahoma City all over again. Now, if James Harden plays and he can play pretty well, completely different story.
By the way, when they started this season, Kyrie Irving basically said, we don't need a coach like Steve. Well, now you need a coach. So this is where Steve Nash is going to prove his worth.
Well, if you don't think you need a coach in the NBA, then you haven't paid attention to the playoffs. Because I do believe that the coaching that's taken place with the Clippers has been great. The coaching that's taken place with the Hawks made some adjustments that's been really good. I think the Sixers have made some adjustments that have been very good. I think coaching absolutely matters.
It also feels like the story of the postseason has been the war of attrition. Like, every team seems to be injured. And people that say the Clippers aren't, they don't have Serge Ibaka, who was a big piece for them. So,
correct.
Single team.
The Suns are the only team without injuries, right? And they're the team who, by the way, gets to rest the most. But then you have to balance out rest with rust. It's a hard one. It's a very, very hard one. It's not as easy as it looks. And everybody thinks they can be a coach. Everybody thinks these things are easy. And you know what's interesting is when David Blatt had the head coaching job of the Cavaliers, and Colin Sexton is going to join us upcoming top of next hour. Colin obviously didn't play for David Blatt. He was long gone. But the point is that David Blatt caught a lot of heat because, if you remember, he said, you know, being a head coach is like being a fighter pilot. You know, you have all these different decisions to make at a moment's notice. And people kind of laughed it off, like, yeah, really, you're a coach? How many decisions? You really give the ball to LeBron and get the hell out of the way? But it's a lot more to it than that. A lot more to it than that. So I tend to agree that coaching in the regular season is more about massaging egos and getting guys to play hard and getting guys to fight through when they don't have it and to share things and share the basketball. But coaching the postseason, completely different animal. And yes, it is incredibly. There's a reason that one guy won 11 rings. It wasn't just that he had great players, is that he was a great coach. When to play a guy, how to play a guy, how much to play a guy, all these things absolutely positively matter. Yes, John Ramos.
When you're coaching on your AAU teams and stuff on Saturdays or whenever you go to your tournaments, do you have other alternate plans in case somebody doesn't show up or someone gets injured during the game, like one of your star players? Do you have another option you could go to or things you have pre planned out that like you can go to, or is it just like if something happens, you're like, oh, you have to scramble? I mean, as a coach, I assume you have some idea. Oh, you scramble. Okay.
Well, I mean, you have some idea, right? You know, we're playing. There's a big national tournament this weekend. Probably my favorite player to coach, who's not my son, is at a Christian camp in Missouri, right? So, yeah, we got to. There's where we got to kind of figure out how to manage that, how to deal with that, and how to change, you know, how you sub and who you start and things like that. It's also, like, again, this is more AAU basketball, but the rules aren't always the same in any tournament. Some tournaments are running time, some tournaments are stop time, some tournaments are longer, shorter. And what I've learned is, you know, I used to want to start guys and kind of get a few, you know, start my more veteran guys that have played for me more. Now I want to start my best guys to get a lead because the games are so short at times, where especially running clock halves, you just, the games go fast, really fast. So, but to answer your question, yeah, that's where I really like it for other coaching is it helps you learn to adjust on the fly because you have to, you have really no other choice.
Really quickly, Doug, did you see that? I think it's Sierra Canyon. They lost the title game.
Yes.
Yeah. I just thought
they lost to Corona. So for people who don't know, yeah, State of California is still playing the state championship. State Open tournament starts, I think, tonight. But the sectional championships were just concluded last week. That's where you saw Drake and LeBron, yes, at Bronny's game. That's Sierra Canyon. They lost to Corona Centennial. Corona is on the way out to Riverside. Riverside's where Kawhi Leonard is. But Corona Centennial didn't have their best player. He was playing in a tournament in front of college coaches instead of playing for his high school team in an effort to be seen. And they still beat Sierra Canyon at Sierra Canyon in front of Drake and...
That's impressive. Yeah. And you did it in front of Maverick Carter and all these guys. Like, that's amazing.
Totally.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Craig and John. Boom, 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 boom. The Athletic had an article out yesterday. I want to really read through it. It's good reporting. Tim Cato, Sam Amick, talking about the Dallas Mavericks, their front office, and the relationship with Luka Doncic. The article details the role of Haralambos Vulgaris in the team's front office, the impact on the team, Doncic's relationship with Vulgaris, and other members of the Mavericks organization. The Athletic reported that Vulgaris' title undersells his role in the franchise. The report says that Vulgaris has a say in everything from roster decisions to head coach Rick Carlisle's rotations and acts like he's the shadow GM. We have two general managers, a source told The Athletic. Vulgaris' influence confused other teams on who was making decisions with the Mavs, which has employed Donnie Nelson as GM since 2005. Mark Cuban called the article BS. You have a power-hungry dude who's able to find ways to obtain power within an organization. That's really what's kind of taking place there. I think the whole thing is fascinating. And the question is, you know, is he Luka Doncic's guy, and is he simply doing what Luka wants him to do? Right? Or is it what he wants to do? But I do think that a lot of this, a lot of this comes from the idea of how do we make our team better all while keeping Luka happy? You know? And Luka doesn't seem to be down with Haralambos Vulgaris, you know, who's, by the way, like a gambler turned Mavs executive. And his official title is quantitative research and development. You know, he rose to fame because of his success as a gambler. He made millions gambling on the NBA, developing models that gave him an edge. They used him as consultant in 2009, and he became a semi-regular guest on Bill Simmons' podcast. You know, Vulgaris told ESPN that studying the NBA and its trends led him to believe he could be more successful at building a team than most GMs. The Mavs hired him in 2018. And the Athletic reported that Doncic was annoyed this season when he saw Vogaris leave a game late in the fourth quarter as the Mavs attempted a comeback. They ended up losing that game. Doncic later said in the locker room that he viewed Vogaris as quitting on the team, the report said. Doncic also snapped at Vogaris during a game in February, saying, "Don't effing tell me to calm down." Right?
It reminds me of the Eagles report over the offseason. It was the same kind of thing. These quantitative analytics guys come in and they get a bigger role than they should and have a say in some of the roster decisions.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I think you want to keep Luka happy. I think you want his basketball IQ to be welcomed. And, I do think that analytics and data research absolutely has a home in every front office and everywhere. Like, look, I'll just tell you, to people who say, well, you know, data and analytics, you don't think we use that in sports radio? We may not have an analytics department, but when I was at one of the other places, Scott Shapiro's, my direct boss and I, there was another guy who was at Scott's level who, that's what he did. He did data. And all the other stuff he would talk about, it was all nice, but just tell me what the data says. You know, and the data tells you what the listener wants, what the listener doesn't want. How do we get you to listen longer? That stuff is valuable. Now, it's not the end all be all, because sometimes you have to use your intuition, your feel, your understanding of the basketball term, time, score, and momentum, right? You got to understand all these things. But it absolutely has a point. It has a place. And if it says, hey, there's a problem that's brewing and the Mavericks have to figure this, I think it's great that this came out. It doesn't mean that it's a problem to the level of Luka's going to force his way out, but it's like, look, here's something that's not quite great within that franchise. They're going to have to figure that sucker out. Yeah, to figure it out.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
TJ Hushmanzada joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Check him out on Up on Game weekends here on Fox Sports Radio. TJ, let's start with hoop, because you're a big, I know football and I want to talk Justin Fields, but I am intrigued. Can you figure out the Clippers?
Man, yeah, they need to be down 0-2 before they realize, oh, we better start playing. The Clippers roster is one of the best rosters in the NBA. They can score the basketball, but more importantly, they have so many guys that can lock in on the defensive end. I don't get it. I guess they just need to feel under pressure, quote unquote, to say, okay, let's start to play. I don't get it.
I do think, though, and again, this is a two-way discussion here, right? This is not a me, dictating, but I do think that there's part of me that actually likes the Clippers more, because here's why. Adversity kind of exposes, right? Like, anybody can be your friend, or anybody's a fan, or any team. It's like any team can be great when you're winning. But when you're losing, now you find out what somebody's all about. Now you find out, what their makeup is. It's the same thing within relationships, right? When you go through adversity, you find out who your friends are. You know, you find out about all your relationships. And I got to tell you, I've been really impressed by the Clippers and Ty Lue's ability to keep them, I don't know, positive, but also balanced. He's made smart adjustments and hasn't freaked out. I actually like the Clippers more because I've seen them two consecutive series deal with adversity.
You know what's crazy is when the first round, when Paul George, they go down 0-2 to Dallas, Paul George says, oh, we're not worried, everybody. What you mean you're not worried?
Yeah, I said that.
They were calm, and yeah, everybody got on Paul George because he said, oh, we're not worried, just make a few adjustments here and there, and we'll be fine. And that's what happens when you win, that we're not worried. It's like, oh, okay, they stay calm, and they rallied back to win a series. Had they lost that series, see, that's the type of attitude you can't have, is when Paul George said it wasn't a problem, he didn't have a sense of urgency. But and so because they're playing good basketball and they're winning now, or now the series is tied with Utah, it's like, oh, they've made great adjustments. They didn't panic. They stayed calm. They didn't let the whirlwind of what everybody is saying kind of get to them and get them out of their element and their DNA. But again, when you have Kawhi Leonard can play on both sides, Paul George plays both sides, and you got Pat Beverly is a great defensive player. Marcus Morris can play really defense. You got Batum, he plays really good defense. You go, they have a lot of guys that can really lock you down on the defensive side of the ball.
No question. I think Ty's adjustments have been the biggest thing, right? Like, you know, he stopped playing Rondo and he stopped playing Pat Beverly last series, and this series he hasn't been playing Rondo. Instead, you know, he's playing Luke more and he's back to playing Pat Beverly some. Like, he's found a way to push all the buttons, and so far it's worked. I got to tell you, I like Kawhi. There's a simplicity in his game that it's really, really unique. Really unique.
Hey, it's so simple. Yeah, at least it looks simple, but it's hard to deal with. I mean, he gets any shot he wants.
Yep.
At any time, in any point of the game. It doesn't matter if it's the first quarter and it's the first possession, or it's the fourth quarter and the last possession. He's going to get the shot that he wants every single time down the court. And that's, you don't see that too often. He has a physical strength that guys can't get physical with him. They can't body him up. And he has enough quickness to where I'm going to get to my spot and I'm going to get the shot that I want. Simple.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's transition to football for a second. So Matt Nagy comes out and says, no way Justin Fields is our starter day one. What's your reaction?
That's just a way to put Andy Dalton at ease, because I'm sure certain things were said to Andy Dalton prior to him signing, which I don't know why, because how many opportunities were out there for Andy Dalton to be a starter? That's number one. But it also takes pressure off Justin Fields. You know, learn at your own pace. Let's develop at your own pace. Don't rush. If he's ready to play, it's kind of similar, but a little different. Russell Wilson and Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn didn't have the type of success that Andy Dalton had prior to him going to Seattle. But if Justin Fields can show that I'm that dude, he's going to start the first game. It's just that simple. And if he's not ready, he will be ready by midseason. But this is the way to just to kind of calm Andy down, keep him focused, and take some pressure off Justin Fields. And so he doesn't have to think, okay, I got to speed up. I got to get this really fast. Just take your time, learn at your own pace, and get it when you get it.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's, you know, we're hearing all this stuff about Cam Newton. We had Tom House on. He thinks Cam Newton can get it back. Bill Belichick saying Cam Newton way ahead of where he was last year. But can he get to a place where he can play in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. I was fortunate enough during the spring. Cam Newton, obviously the Patriots are out here working out where we work out at. They're out here for a whole week. It's his leadership, Doug. Like, I think people look at the physical. No, talking about him throwing in the rain yesterday. I mean, you look, Cam overthrew some balls. Mac Jones' balls were underthrown. Those balls are going to be picks in the NFL. You underthrow a ball in the red zone, that's an interception. But Cam Newton, I noticed at the workouts, the dude is just a leader. Like, you can't underestimate guys' ability to lead. People are willing to follow him. They're willing to follow Cam. Now, the physical aspect of it, if he can get back to somewhat of what he was, they're going to be fine. People forget. You sign late. It's COVID. There's no practice. The New England Patriots have a complex offensive system. That's going to be hard on anyone. And for him, early in the year, everybody, oh, my God, this Cam Newton is phenomenal. Look what the Patriots have done with Cam Newton. And obviously, he gets COVID. When he gets COVID, he comes back. He's never the same. And so I believe Cam Newton will be the Cam Newton that we saw earlier in the season, but a better version of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he can be back, but is even that Cam Newton good enough? Right, that's the question. And can he sustain it? Right, it's not what you are initially, but now we got a 17 game season. A guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy for, you know, in the last 5 years hasn't been able to stay healthy. Now a year later, can he stay healthy for a longer season than we've ever seen and sustain success that he hasn't seen in the last 4 or 5 years?
If you look at Greg Olsen was a really good player with the Chicago Bears. He played extremely well with the Carolina. I mean, extremely well with the Carolina Panthers. And you have to give Cam Newton some of that credit. Cam Newton likes throwing the ball to his tight ends. So what did New England go do? And this is something they've always done. They've always had really good tight ends. They feed those tight ends the ball. They go get Jonnu Smith. They go get Hunter Henry. And so I believe that intermediate throwing the ball in between the numbers in the middle of the field with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, that's something that is a comfort level for Cam because you saw it in Carolina with Greg Olsen. I thought Cam Newton and Greg Olsen had a connection that the Patriots saw that and said, oh, we can get back playing how we like to play. Let's go get these tight ends and see if this is a comfort level thing for Cam as well, where he can have now two tight ends that he can choose to throw to.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently Tua had a really bad day. Five picks in an OTA workout. What do you make of Tua's struggles last season and so far in this offseason?
Last season is last season. You're coming off an injury, so you're not really working on getting better as a player as much as you should. You're working on getting your body ready to be a player. What happens in offseason? It was raining a ton. It doesn't matter. They would be surprised, and I say they, the fans and the people, of how many bad days guys have in OTAs. The top quarterbacks, the best receivers, the best DBs get crushed. It happens all the time because the monotony of just practice again today. Oh, it's raining today. I really don't want to be out here, but I got to go practice. It happens. Everybody has a bad day. Fans, you have a bad day at work. You mean you're going to have a bad day tomorrow? Probably not. And so it happens. I don't read too much into it because I've been there, done that. And at my best day of practice, am I really that good? And my worst day, am I really that bad? And so that's never the case. I'm not too much worried about it. Tua can be solid. The Dolphins, they have a ton of speed on offense. They're going to be stout on defense. He just has to be solid, and I believe he will because he's played in a ton of big games at Alabama. Just don't let the pressure get to him. Don't let what happened yesterday roll over in today. If he can do that, he'll be fine.
Okay, let me ask you. T.J. Hushman's out, our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I get that. I understand that. I think there's a little more pressure on him because he didn't perform to the level that many people thought he would go back to last year. But like, let's dig in on a couple of other guys and a couple of other scenarios. Denver seems to be a team that's a quarterback away, right? They've reworked their defense, and their head coach is a very good defensive coordinator. And their offense has some talent. Running back, wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy looks like he's going to be a complete stud. Like that's nice, but they don't have great quarterback play. So in the short term, Teddy Bridgewater, and then maybe they can get an Aaron Rodgers. Maybe they could go get a Deshaun Watson in a trade. But what about Teddy B? Why wasn't he good enough in Carolina? Why couldn't he keep the job there?
It's a mystery to me. That's perplexing because he was really good with Minnesota in his brief time playing with the Saints. When he had an opportunity, he was very good with the Saints. And so the only thing that I can point to is COVID and not being able to have that chemistry with the guys. New head coach, new offensive system, first time offensive coordinator in the NFL and Joe Brady. We're kind of both finding our way at the same time. Oh, and you don't have the best player on your team that really can play is Christian McCaffrey. He wasn't available for pretty much the entirety of the season. And so that's going to affect anyone. Really good receiver he had in Carolina and DJ Moore. But when you look at getting there late, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, that's all you can point to. But the biggest thing is he did not have Christian McCaffrey. And so coaching goes a long way. Look what he did with Sean Payton. Sean Payton's one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. I'm not saying that Joe Brady can't get there, but he's a first-time offensive coordinator. And you have to have this chemistry that – or the know-how that Sean Payton has learned over the many years of being a coach. Teddy Bridgewater looks like he can play. But if you can get Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers, I'm going all in for one of those two guys, because that right there makes you a contender, no question.
No question about it. No question about it.
Who wins the NBA championship? Poker, all in. Chips all in to get one of those two guys. You go all in.
Who wins the NBA championship?
Man, I just said last Saturday on our show Up on Game that it was not even a contest. The Brooklyn Nets were going to win the NBA championship. And then Kyrie sprains his ankle. I don't know if we can see James Harden because of his hamstring. But I'm going to stick with the Nets. You know, my Lakers are gone. I believe outside of the Lakers, the Nets were the best team. And so let's just hope KD can put them on his back for game five. And he can hopefully get some help in the form of Harden, or Kyrie can come back in game six. But yeah, I'm going with the Nets, man. KD is a great player, but it's hard to go at the way Middleton has been playing, Drew Holiday, and even Giannis really playing up to his capabilities now. It's hard to beat Milwaukee. They have a really good team, but if anybody can do it, Kevin Durant, who's the best player in the NBA right now, in my opinion, he can do it.
Yeah, you know, I saw this deal where Harden is going to – he worked out this morning. He's going to work out before the game. They're going to see if they've cleared him to play. But to me, the hamstring thing, the hard part around hamstrings is you'll feel fine and you'll be like, oh, okay, I can go. And then all of a sudden you'll try and – in the middle of a game, you'll try and go and you feel like you got shot and you're like, you ever had one of those lingering hamstrings?
Have I ever. If I showed you my right hamstring, it's deformed. My first 2 years in the league, I tore it both times. And then my third year, I played in, I believe, one game because I tore it again. And I finally realized what I needed to do to prevent it. Never had another hamstring problem again. But, yes, I'm very, very familiar with hamstring. You'll jog. You'll go about 80%. You're good. As soon as you turn it on all the way up, you're like, oh. It lets you know right away, don't play with me. And so there's no ifs, ands, but either you can – it's hard to – you can play under control with it. I will say that. But if he tries to turn it up 100% and he's not ready, it will let him know immediately.
Hoosh, look forward to hearing Up on Game this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk soon.
Keep up the great work, my man.
That's my guy, TJ Hushmanzada. He's the best. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Check out Up on Game. Okay, that's Saturdays, 1 to 3 Eastern Time, or just download the podcast. It's absolutely fantastic.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time of the Doug Gottlieb Show, we try and do is find the most interesting thing we heard or saw earlier on Fox Sports Radio, or Fox Sports 1, we call it.
And now,
What Does the Fox Say? What Does the Fox Say is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You want to get your dad something cool? A DSC 6-blade razor is perfect for that extra close, precise shave. Get one at a store near you, or even easier, dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. This is Chris Broussard on Undisputed today, talking about Ty Lue.
Ty Lue, he deserves some credit for what he's really in this entire postseason.
Yep.
Yeah, he is. Look, with all due respect to Doc Rivers, Ty is making the adjustments that Doc didn't make last season in the playoffs, whether it's changing the starting lineup, changing the rotation.
Yep.
Obviously, they went to zone defense at times against Utah, and he's not afraid to bench some of the strongest personalities on the team. It was Pat Beverly last series.
Yep.
And this series is Rajon Rondo. And
Rondo didn't even dress, Chris.
All he did in Cleveland. Right. Right. So all he did with the championship in Cleveland, obviously he gets credit for that. But I'm more impressed with what I see now from Ty Lue than what I even saw in Cleveland, because he had LeBron, obviously, to do a lot of it on the court. So he's really done a tremendous job coaching his team. So,
I agree. I totally agree. Like, you know, I don't. Do I like the fact that they're down 0-2? No. Do I like the fact that they don't seem to have a little bit better plan out of the gate? No. But I also am realistic to think guy's not a miracle worker, and he has yet worked miracles. To have a team down 0-2 in two different series and have no freak out and come out and execute and get that thing back even, especially a franchise like the Clippers that has seen no success. It's not like they can go like, hey, you know, this happened 5 years ago. We were fine. It's not happened there. Oh, I don't think there's any. It also points, you know, Frank Vogel has done a very good job with the Lakers. And obviously he got the job after Ty Lue turned it down because he only got offered a 3-year contract. I thought that was a mistake for Ty Lue at the time. I still think it probably is, because they would have won a title one of these last 2 years would be my guess. I don't know. But it also points to that, hey, you know, sometimes you have more than one really good option. Lakers have more than one really good option, and they took option B after option A turned them down. But I think Ty Lue has separated himself as an excellent playoff coach. And while his regular season wasn't great, remember, you're also managing guys that aren't going to play every day. And there was never the strife this year that it felt like there was last year. Ty Lue's been outstanding. I wish I could find some counterpoint to Chris Broussard's argument, but I cannot. What does the Fox say? Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Do you guys know what today is?
It is the reopening in California.
It is the reopening. No, it's nationwide, isn't it?
No. The other states are a little more sane than us. We are just
No. I thought I could be wrong, but isn't June 15th, wasn't that the national day of, like, reopening?
It might have been, because I think we were the last ones to do it, so it might have just been I'm going to try to get you an answer on this.
I guess it is.
California
reopening, yeah. June 15th. Although I went into a bank today, and I went and got some pokey today, and both had mask signs outside. And I had my mask on.
So that's the thing. It feels like there's like a re-education that we all have to go through, you know, or something, because we're still wearing masks here at our work. So
do you know? Okay, this is a question. I still have it, and you can still sort of read it. But so I don't have one of those, a wallet anymore. I have one of those. It's like a money clip, but you can hold your cards in it too. And I had my, because I was traveling, I had my vaccination card, but I didn't have it laminated, and it got wet. And so it's hard. It's not full vaccination card. Can I get another one? Like, do we know what to do?
I got a electronic one sent to me by a company called Carbon Health, which is where they did it for me. And so I have it in my wallet on your iPhone wallet. So I have a digital version of my vaccine proof.
Did you have to have your vaccine card to show them so they could have it, or did they look it up?
The company automatically did it. They just sent it to me via text message. Yeah. Hmm. Try to help you out with that, Doug.
I appreciate that. No, I appreciate that. I'm like, man, what do I do? I want to travel coming up here. I want to travel.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.